It's playoff time, and you know what that means? Big stakes and even bigger promotions. Every day of the basketball playoffs, DraftKings will have $20,000 in total prizes up for grabs. Want to know the best part? It's free to get your shot at these daily cash prizes. DraftKings will be offering two free-to-play pools every day of the NBA playoffs, offering players a free shot at $20,000 in total prizes. DraftKings' free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to Pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at $20,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. That's promo code THPN for a limited time, only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
The Broadway Boys podcast for the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with season 2 episode 51 as Andy and I are reunited, and it feels so good. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm happy to be back. I feel like I haven't been around a lot lately, which is unfortunate, which stinks. I've definitely had a lot of thoughts about the hockey going on recently and just the general off-season news that's Rangers related and even not Rangers related, but yeah, nice to be back, although you know, in fairness, Ked is probably an upgrade, at least personality and talking point wise over me. But yeah, I think I'm just happy to be back with you here on the podcast. And yeah, excited to talk about things that have been sitting in the back burner of my mind for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and there's no hiding it. So it was fun. It was fun having him on. But, you know, a lot of the stuff that has happened over there. Excuse me, I'm fighting allergies. It's crazy. Some days I'll wake up and I'm perfectly fine. Today I woke up and I probably sound like I was three sheets to the wind last night, but that really wasn't the case. It's just I'm fighting allergies here. You know, there's just been a lot going on just with the craziness of, you know, the NHL playoffs and looking at, you know, the New York Rangers and some of the moves that they've made, and now that the draft lottery has happened. And you know, I'm just glad that we got to sit down right now and kind of discuss it piece by piece. And Andy, where do you want to start off with? Because I think we should start off with the draft lotto. We obviously didn't have the luck this year moving up in the lottery or down. I don't know, you know, some people say it down, I say up, but doesn't really matter. But Rangers are drafting at 15, not the sexiest pick overall, but you know, 15 is you know, nothing to scoff at. It definitely has value, especially if you attach it to a player. So what are you what are your thoughts going into this? And you know, obviously, you know, it's not like years past where we had the 1 and 2 pick and it was pretty much done for us at this point.
Well, my first, and we've spoken about this before, I'm still not convinced that this pick, even if they do end up making the pick, that they end up a Ranger or wearing a Ranger sweater. That might just draft night. If they don't trade the pick in a package for someone for some help or an upgrade of some sort, whether it's just help up the middle, some veteran presence, or hell, even a Jack Eichel, if they're comfortable with everything that's going on with his experimental neck surgery and all this other business, if they do make the pick, which is obviously possible, you know, if they don't like, if they balk at what some other teams are asking, because obviously much has been made of the lack of Ranger center depth. So this is a draft that, A, the circumstances surrounding COVID have made it so, yeah, it's just been limited viewings of some players. They haven't gotten full seasons. Some players have played longer than others, so they've gotten more. But do you put more stock into, you know, do scouts put more stock into, we've been able to watch this person more, you know, this kid more, so we have a little bit more comfort in where they their projectability. But at the same time, you've seen, you know, smaller flashes of some kids that either their seasons got cut short or they just didn't have as much ice time. Yeah, this is a tough one. So you have to wonder what the comfort level is for most general managers and scouts going into this one. It might be one, a draft, or it's definitely worth it to trade down or trade back, because it's just like at this point, you're comfortable with the guys you were, you know, able to get viewings of. And it's kind of a little bit more up in the air. I obviously, as a prospect guy, this season, with that being what it was, I definitely didn't get to pay as much attention as I have in years past. But I'd say overall, it's a bit weaker of a draft. I mean, that's no slight to Owen Power going first overall, which I still think is he ends up going to Buffalo. But yeah, I just think you have it's one of those drafts where, you know, Beniers is a guy I see topping out as a Dylan Larkin if he goes second overall type player, which is obviously a good player, but, you know, it's not, you know, unless, I mean, obviously every year down the road you have some surprises, you know, people taken in the second and third rounds become your Pasternak's and Brayden Point of the world. But just on face value, honestly, in the top 30, you have, very few centers, and the ones that do, I don't think all of them even stick. But, as far as that relates to the Rangers, if they do end up making that pick, I think they go best player available, because, like I said, I still don't think they take that player doesn't get flipped at some point. So I don't think you're going to, even though the Rangers, like I said, need some help up the middle. I mean, if they don't think that player is going to play for them, they need to maximize the value of the pick, right? So they probably go best player available. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was a goaltender this year. I definitely would not. But, yeah, I mean,
goalies that you have your eye on? Or
yeah, I mean, so Jesper Wallstedt is a very good goaltender. He plays for Luleå in the Swedish Elite League. And I mean, he, you know, much like, we spoke about him all last year. His name escapes me. He was drafted by, who drafted the Russian goaltender Askarov last year?
Was it Florida, Nashville,
or Carolina? Nashville did, yes. Yeah, much like Askarov last year, it's just a young guy playing in a men's pro league and putting up excellent numbers. I mean, it's just a similar thing where it's like he's kind of separated himself from just the rest of, you know, because obviously to be a goaltender and go in the first round, you really have to do something to separate yourself from your peers, because as we know, goaltending is like value is always depreciated a little bit, and goaltending can be a little bit of a hard to project and a little bit voodoo, as they say. But yeah, I mean, Wallstedt's definitely a guy who I especially in a draft like this, it's, you know, he's not obviously like a Marc-Andre Fleury pedigree coming in, but it's pretty close. I mean, it's one of those things that if he's a guy that who's picking the top five said they wanted to pick him, I wouldn't bat an eyelash at it, especially considering the projectability of, you know, this group of D in the top 10, but there's not real general consensus of who's better than who. Some are a little bit more safer picks, but are still good. Some are more projects, but if they hit their, you know, your Owen Powers and your Simon Edvidsons, you know what I mean? But it's not that they're unknowns. I just think it's between not getting a lot of viewing time. I don't know if there's really a right answer. And it's harder for me, and I'm sure for scouts, to formulate really hard and fast opinions about, you know, this guy is flat out better than this guy, or at least as crystallized as it's been in years past. But as far as the Rangers at 15, I mean, I wonder, especially with everything we've seen with James Dolan stepping in and wanting more toughness, and even them trying to get some snarl last year with Schneider and Schneider and Will Cooley, and just, you know, honestly, you look at how the playoffs are playing out right now, where it's almost become, it's kind of, you know, years in the last few years, even though yes, it's still a speed and skill league, I just think for whatever reason, the whole the NHL is kind of having a philosophical crisis with the whole like toughness thing, especially you've seen some of the hits being laid and guys getting hurt. So, and it's like, is it better to be on the receiving end of these hits or be the ones dishing them out? You know, so it's tough. So, I mean, if the Rangers could go best player available, but at the same time, I could see them taking a swing on like, what's that kid's name? Like a Brennan Othman, who's like a kind of a rough and tumble winger. He plays for Flint in the OHL. You know, there's Matthew Coronado's another guy. He's a winger who plays for the Chicago Seal in the USHL. I think he led them in scoring, and he is a hell of a finisher. And he, you know, not the best skater in the world, but oh, he's also a New York kid. He's from Huntington. So I think, you know, that would be yet another nice story of a local kid who I'm sure, I don't know if he grew up an Islander fan or a Ranger fan, but you know, he's from the area, and he's just plays with tenacity and he's a great finisher. So the Rangers could always use more finishers, but at the same time, you know, cause I just, you know, at this point with the players they have right now, I don't really worry. Cause I know a lot of teams are like, we need more finishers or we need more playmakers. I don't know if the Rangers really have that problem. I just think they need more people that are willing to play through the middle and be good defensively, but can also produce, you know what I mean? So yeah, they might take some swings on some guys that you might even look and be like, ah, it might've been a little bit of a reach, but at the same time, it's like, if they, you know, I think this is the one where they're like, especially because you have some players that have good potential and like your Atu Aratis and, you know, your Fabian Lysels and your, hell, even some of the D-men, like, yeah, like I'm still not sold on some of the, how good some of these, you know, Simon Edvinson could be or, you know, but yeah, sorry, mentally I'm all over the place right now, but yeah, I think that to show this draft is definitely not as, like I said, I haven't formulated as hard and fast opinions like this guy is flat out better than this guy, you know? So, and that, I think that just goes because I do, like I said, there's a couple of other centers that the Rangers clearly need centers, you know, you have your Cole Sillingers, Zachary Bolduc, who plays for Rimouski. He was teammates with Lafreniere last year, so I got to see him a little bit, and he's been one of the best players in the queue this season. But again, this is a weird year, as everyone has been so apt to bring up. So you don't know, like, if these are just the circumstances. Some kids maybe came out of the gate were more ready, and it helped them. But ultimately, if some kids that struggled under normal circumstances would have excelled. So it's kind of hard. So this is the one year I really don't have a good pulse on players the Rangers may covet. I do think, like I had mentioned earlier, they may covet the guys with a little bit more sandpaper, especially because the overall skill level maybe in this draft isn't, it's not one of those things where if you, especially at 15, where if you feel if you're taking, you know, this guy, you're missing out on a player like, you know, last season, like, because we remember in the towards the top 10, you had some like your Anton Lundells and your, it's funny after, you know, a season and a draft with these kids in my brain, I cut to make room for the next crop. I kind of just dump names. So I just forget all these kids' names until they reappear.
I become like a fanboy listening to you, just like rattle off and like, because I don't really follow prospects until really pretty much draft time. And then you kind of, that's how I learn. I learn about, you know, here are the video clips and then, you know, once that player is drafted to that specific team, I like to go on their, you know, Twitter where they, you know, show like highlight reels of their new player that they got, you know, their new shiny toy.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the extent of it. Because for me, every time, you know, we have the draft and it rolls around, there's so much analysis that goes on that it gets a little overwhelming. And I truly don't believe that anybody knows. Like, you don't know. At the end of the day, you don't know what the player is going to be. Like, obviously, we have some home runs that are, you know, top five picks, you know, pretty much what you're going to get. But once you hit like where the Rangers are, that 15 realm, it becomes a crapshoot. You just don't know. And some of these players are great, you know, in their, you know, junior leagues and NCAA. But at the end of the day, you just don't know how they're going to take and receive the NHL game. It's just a crapshoot. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say real quick that, you know, earlier I'd mentioned that this might be a year to trade down. I mean, listen, the Rangers are picking at 15, but Columbus, or technically 16, but because Arizona forfeits their pick due to all that chicanery they were involved in, it's technically 15. Yep. But, you know, I mean, Columbus has picks 23 and 25. And I mean, right now, that 2017 draft for the Rangers is looking like amazing. You know, they just signed Nils Lundqvist the other day, and Kravtsov and Keandre Miller are already playing in the NHL. So at the very least, you can think, so far, they're 2 for 3. Yeah, obviously, you don't know what Nils will end up being, but at the very, it's looking like they have three. With his pedigree and the way he's producing the SHL and winning the best Swedish defenseman, you know, born defenseman in the league for them, like, the way it's looking right now is that they have three bona fide NHLers from that. So imagine they do something, although they traded up to get Keandre with all those picks. I mean, if you could double up, if they're confident, if they think they want to take one guy who's maybe a little bit of a reach, but like a, like, but it has some sandpaper, and then use the other one to take a guy who's like a skill reach where you're like, ah, Turati has fallen. That's a very tantalizing prospect for me, where it's like, you know, teams are like, do we really want to swing this year? Because we don't really know. It's such a crapshoot. Like, we don't have as much information, or we're not as comfortable in our information. If I'm the Rangers and you have a, or hell, even using one of those to take like one of the goaltend, you know, I'm sure by that time, you know, one of the, like Sebastian Kosa, who's another goaltender who might go in the first round, could be there, who plays for the Oil Kings, you know, with Matthew Robertson. But yeah, I mean, I just, like I said, I think it could be, I don't know, and the Rangers haven't, although they did it, you know, they traded down to with or back, I should say, because I knew they were still gonna be able to get Schneider, but yeah, I mean, who knows, they might do that again, and I think it would be worthy to do it, because again, it's just such a, this is a hard one to peg, although at the same time, they've been watching, I'm sure scouts have been trying to do as much video watching, so I don't know if they're as confident in there and their ability. Maybe the more progressive teams will just, it'll be business as usual, but maybe some of the more old school teams, it's like messing with their heads a bit.
Yeah, and you know, I told Ked this last week. You know, I'd be surprised if the Rangers draft. I really would. It just seems like one of those years where, you know, all these players are coming off the pandemic season. You don't know much about it. The Rangers really don't need to be drafting. Like, if there was a first round pick that you could kind of punt and, you know, kind of regroup and say, you know what, we're going to pass on this first round. Let's, you know, try to package for a player that's going to have NHL impact next year, that's going to help us. Because, you know, I mean, I could be totally wrong with the management right now, but I think management thinks that the Rangers are on the verge of a playoff team and getting, you know, gearing up for playoff runs, like, and not just making the playoff. I think the Rangers organization right now are looking for, you know, the next level. And I don't think you're going to get that through the draft. And I'd be shocked right now if we had, you know, that 15th overall pick come draft time. On the other hand, though, you know, the Rangers also, you know, they've been very, very good drafting lately. I feel like the first round picks have been dynamite. I mean, there's a great consensus on, you know, Braden Schneider. You know, you see, you know, the impact that Keandre Miller has had. You know, it's just like, it just, you feel like every time the Rangers have drafted in the first round over the past years, and I'm not talking about the Kako and Lafreniere because those were layups, but you know, the draft has been, you know, I don't know, it's been plentiful. Am I crazy for thinking that? I feel like the Rangers under Gorton found like a light switch where all of a sudden all these guys come in and you're like, you know, they drafted very well. Like, they really didn't have any, like, you know, strikeouts with any of these players.
You know, I think definitely that draft, the Elias Andersson draft, where they're obviously very happy they were at least able to get Hedl out of the first round. Yeah, I definitely think that really, I don't know if it motivated them to go a little bit more. Yeah, I don't know, because at the same time, I mean, listen, drafting is hard. There's not a single team. There are some teams, obviously, that have much better records than others. But at the same time, you look at a team like the, like Tampa, and everyone's like, oh man, wow, look, they found Brayden Point and Matthew Joseph, all these, you know, or all these guys, you know, in later rounds. But at the same time, if you look at their first rounders, they kind of, a lot of them they've struck out on, but they luckily they found some, were able to get superstars in the, you know, your Kucherovs and whatever in the, like, the second and third rounds, you know? So no team is perfect, and there is a lot of luck involved. But at the same time, there are some teams that definitely hit more than others. And I mean, and I think there's some teams that, you know, if I'm the Devils, you have to be thankful that at least, well, I don't know, not thankful, but the fact that they've been so bad recently helps them, because picking the top five, it's a lot harder, because they, when they were kind of just middling for a little bit there, like all those guys, are none of them are really that all that great. You know, some of them, and they'll become like maybe complimentary bottom six wingers and centers, or even like maybe a bottom pairing D, but yeah, really they've had no luck there. So there's some, they're just, some teams are better at drafting some spots than others. The Rangers obviously needed to get their shit together in the first round, and they clearly have, you know, but again, that's only, we only had one draft where they really were forced to make some tough decisions, and they obviously knocked it out of the park with getting Keandre Nils and Vitali Kravtsov. But then, yeah, the two drafts after that, you could argue out, you know, their first round picks were kind of locked in, which kind of puts, you know, makes it out of their hands a little bit. But obviously, you kind of like what they've done in the, although it remains to be seen how much contributions they'll get from the player, you know, the players they took in the later rounds in those drafts. But it obviously, you know, you look at the, just the, they're on the, at least in terms of evaluating D-men, they've been excellent, you know, because you're looking and there's a glut. There's obviously too many kids there. Unfortunately, Schneider, Robertson, Zach Jones, Nils Lundqvist, Keandre, they're not all going to, there's clearly just not enough room. It's like, you can't tell this kid we're going to have you. You can play in Hartford for maybe a year or two, but at some point they're going to be like, all right, there's not a spot for me here, you know? So, but it's a good problem to have, because you can kind of, you can let, see how things shake out and then just use them as value to go to another team. There's plenty of teams that need defensemen in their pipeline, you know, at least some of the contenders, you know, cause you know, I mean, after this year, how much longer is Washington, you know, especially with everything that's going on with Kucherov and how they were not all that convincing going into, you know. And yes, I know, yes, Pittsburgh looked pretty good this season, but again, it's just, you look good, but they've been up and down, and they have good seasons and bad seasons, and as long as they have but Malkin's now having surgery, I think, and yeah, you just, you don't know. So it looks like some of these teams that the perennial contenders are going to start, yeah, they're thinking about retooling a bit, and the Rangers will have the pieces to provide for them, you know, in exchange for some good players to help them get over, you know, get to that next step.
Hey, hockey fans, I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray. We host the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
We're lifelong hockey fans who talk about the game and the lifestyle. Our guests include professional hockey players.
My rookie party had to wear Speedo, and then we had a checklist of stuff we had to do.
Here we go, Gaber. What do you got to say? And it's kind of like, you know better than that now, boys.
I got dressed for the Bruins. Get a phone call. He's like, dude, we need you over here by the elevator. You got to get downstairs. You got to get dressed right now.
Started playing the like, dun, 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 dun. And I turned it around and it had the Olympic rings and said, we did it.
NHL team hockey reporters.
I actually took the Stanley Cup to this ice bar where they've got now girls around them and I've got a fur coat on.
I wonder who he should have checked over here. And then I looked down at my favorite
hockey fans.
The entire bar was lined with guys in Kings jerseys. We quickly realized, oh my gosh, this is the dad's trip.
And we bring unique hockey stories to light.
Coming back to England, 24 rinks in the entire country. That's where the problem starts with the sport of ice hockey here.
Canadian Blind Hockey Association, those few kids we interviewed, their whole week is built around Sunday at the rink. They're just hockey players.
We don't agree on everything.
Pineapple goes on pizza.
No, it does not.
I think it does.
But we do agree that there are many people and places that build the House of Hockey.
New episodes every Tuesday. Come on in to the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Andy, you know, there's so many question marks on this roster right now, from Zibanejad to Blackwell to Rooney to Strome. You look at our defense, you know, is the Trouba contract going to, you know, is that going to be around forever? There's just so many pieces, even on the pieces that we think are going to be here long term. And, you know, I point out Zibanejad, even last week I spoke to Ked about it. It's like there's not even a rumbling on whether or not he's going to get extended. So, you know, given the roster right now and, you know, the kind of the mentality that nobody is safe, and I think you and I both agree that Buchnevich is probably not a New York Ranger by the time next season starts. It just, it creates a question for me. You know, what are the Rangers going to do even with the players that are currently on the roster. Like, all right, it's one thing to bring in some grit, but it's another thing to deal with some of the looming questions that we have over the players that are, they have no term here. So especially like Zibanejad and Strom, who've contributed so much to our recent success over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I think a player like Buchnevich, it's been much speculated that he most likely, whether he's part of a package or just an individual deal, he's unfortunately a luxury the Rangers can't afford to keep. But at the same time, they can cash out at the top of his, you know, his valuability, especially if he's got a little bit of term, you know, or at least even however short it is at his current contract. He's like clearly one of the better contracts in the league. So, yeah, and that's very valuable. So, you know, it stinks because you want to keep him around. He's a good player and he's become a good two-way player, but you might have to lose him. You know, you're definitely, I don't think Strom is going to long-term here on this team. But that being said, you know, even though the cap is most likely going to remain stagnant and flat for the next few years, the Rangers do have salary coming off the books next season. And the funny thing is, I was so convinced that Mika was not going to, you know, wasn't going to be a Ranger, or he was going to get, they weren't going to re-sign him, or they're going to have to trade him or ship him out. But in a weird way, I mean, his struggles this year, even if it was COVID, a part of me thinks that might have helped the Rangers be able to re-sign him. Because at the very least, they can say, listen, you know, you can say, oh, I had COVID, and like, yes, we're understanding. But at the same time, it's like, because if he had yet another year, because especially the torrid pace he kind of finished, I think he like was one of the best score. You know, again, his scoring was back up, and he was the way he was producing. I think he was one of the best producers in the NHL in March. You know, him and Panarin, I think this helps them re-sign him to a reasonable ticket, because they can say, look, you didn't have the best start and we really needed it. And at the same time, it's like, you know, you are at this age, it's like, you know, because he could get more money elsewhere. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, you know, just the way he is. I think he's a guy that really likes playing in New York. I think some other guys like your Brady Shays and your Jesper Foss, yes, they loved, you know, they probably loved being in New York, but it wasn't like, oh, I have, like, it wasn't like, it was a nice perk. But at the same time, I think there's just some guys, you know, who more than others, where it's like, they really don't want to go elsewhere. I think Mika, combination of becoming a superstar here, finding his game here, you know, being kind of an international guy, a younger guy, and, you know, whatever, the music, the DJ life, and whatever. I think there are some teams where it's just like, I don't think he wants to go to Buffalo. I don't think he wants to go to Columbus. I don't think he wants to go to Minnesota. I think he likes being a metropolitan New York City guy, kind of like Lundqvist did, you know what I mean? So I think that helps them, because he clearly would get, you know, $10 million from another team, which could, depending on, you know, maybe it would be okay for the first few years, but clearly it would be. But it, I mean, if the Rangers could somehow get him at like nine, yeah, that would be awesome, because, you know, he's still one of the best scorers in the National Hockey League, even if his two-way play is a little overrated, but he flat out can just score, and you need that. And, you know, if I do think COVID was what, you know, was messing with him, because, and he even said in the end, he didn't want to admit it to himself. And because, yeah, obviously you don't want to make excuses, but, you know, just he looked like his old self, and he was good the second half of the season. He just was really abysmal to start. But again, it was most likely COVID. So, you know, and he's been a guy who's been unlucky at a time. So, I mean, if that helps keep the contract number down, that's great. And I think at the also, because, you know, I mean, I don't know what the package for Eichel was exactly. But between the experimental surgery and just looking at the other teams in the league, it's like, you know, if the Rangers want to compete, they just need talent, flat out talent, period. Because, I mean, it's hard to compete with a team that has like a Stamkos, a Kucherov, and a Braden Point, and a,
yeah,
you know, even lesser guys who are still very good at scoring, you know, your Hedman and Cirelli, you know, and just guys, you know, or even like guys like Tyler Johnson, who, like, even though they are not themselves like a superstar, they had one season where they were like, the question is like, was this one of the best guys in the NHL? You know, even if they kind of deflate after that a little bit. But,
well, that's what you kind of,
you know, if the Rangers are shipping talent out to bring marginally better talent in, it's hard to compete with super teams that have, or, you know, you've Rantanen and McKinnon and Gabe Landeskog and obviously you have players, you know, and Makar and Kadri and, you know, all these guys. So it's like, yeah, I think,
don't you think that like this is like the what you want out of like what the New York Rangers are doing right now? Like you have, you know, Kako and Lafreniere. You hope that they kind of turn into those stars. I mean, Kravtsov, if he keeps, you know, projecting like the player that he's could become, he could be one of those impact players. And then on even on the defensive side, I mean, for I'll even include Fox as kind of a kid. He is a kid, and he's already been that superstar defenseman that the Rangers, you know, desperately need, that can, you know, play both offense and defense. And then, you know, Keandre Miller, like, is he going to be that, you know, that kind of rough and tough defenseman who can make outlet passes, you know, who can, you know, fly up and down the ice and, you know, just have a better transition game if he keeps working on it. He could be one of those players. And like, I see the Rangers with the players they currently have on the roster right now, you know, with those young guns kind of coming up through the ranks. You know, the Rangers could be one of those guys where they're like, oh my God, look at this roster. It's just like everywhere you look up and down, you know, top three lines is a threat to score. The fourth line is just a pain in the ass to play against. And their defensemen, they're, you know, they have one guy that can, you know, rush the puck up, and they have another guy that's going to be a nightmare to play in the corners. Like, you know, especially if, you know, Braden Schneider comes in and plays that, you know, kind of rough role where you're like, oh God, on the penalty kill, this is the guy I'm going to have to deal with on the half wall. He's going to be all over me like all night. So I just feel like the Rangers are definitely trending in that direction. Yeah.
They're definitely set up. I think the thing is with where they're at now, that it's a team that it doesn't need much, but it does need one guy on the back end and one guy in the bottom six that can really just help stabilize this lineup, even if it pushes a better player down. Because, yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, I love that. It's like this team doesn't have problems scoring goals. They had one of the best scoring differentials in the league, but right. At the same time, they were one of the best teams with the best scoring differentials to miss. And you can make all the excuses you want about, we talked about this on the podcast. They were young, and so when they're feeling they're sowing their oats a little bit, they can flat out put the puck in the net. But then when the temperature changes and all of a sudden it gets a little bit more structured, intense, in your face, like playoff style hockey, they start wilting. But and that kind of is one of those things where you look at these teams that, like, you know, still on paper the Islanders are not, but when I look at Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck and Leo Komarov and playing, like, you know, maybe underwhelming, albeit effective hockey, I'm like, our guys can do this, but it's a mentality, it's a mindset, and it's confidence, and they just don't have it. So you just need to be able to look over to some guy in your line and see he's doing exactly what you have to do, and you'll follow. You know, if this team got two players, let's say they got, if for some reason Philip Deneau was available from Montreal, yes, or they traded for him, and then you take a guy like a Matthias Ekholm, even though he's old, but he's like just a solid, confident back end, and you just plug those two players in this lineup, how much better is this team because of it? They're so much better, even though it's only two guys, but it's just, again, the talent, like you alluded to, the talent is palpable on this team. They just have to look over and have the leaders need to be led, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, the guys that were leading this year, kind of more of the mercurial skill type guys, you know, I mean, you just have to have that confidence. Like, you know, like I said, you know, everyone, we can make fun of the Matt Martins and the Cal Clutterbucks of the world all we want, but they've been in the postseason the last few seasons, and they get to work and they don't fuck up. You know what I mean? They know how to manage the puck, even though they're not the best players in the world. And it's just like, there's no reason the Rangers can't do that. They have so many, these kids are obviously going to get better and better and just surprise themselves, and all of a sudden they'll have overwhelming skill. But we just watched Toronto absolutely mentally collapse despite being such a better team on paper. You know, yes, Carey Price has finally decided to be good for one time in the last 5 years, and that's helping them. But at the same time, it's just, you saw, I mean, they got checked into submission by Montreal, you know what I mean? And Montreal was sowing their oats, and they felt confident, and they just executed, and you need that. So yeah, this team is set up.
Yeah. And that's why I'm not sold on the whole getting Eichel. Cause you know, if you're going to have Zibanejad signed to a $9 million contract, I don't think we need the Eichel experiment, and it's going to be an experiment because I know he's good. I know he's going to be great, and I'm sure he'll do some impressive things. But bringing in a $10 million player is not always the cure-all. And, you know, if you look at this, if you look at our roster right now, we have a few players where, you know, I would rather have two Eichel lights playing on a second and third line and just be that kind of team where you're like, man, look at up and down the lineup. The Rangers are a pain in the ass to play against. I mean, they have scoring threats on three different lines, you know, and you don't know where it's going to come from. Whereas if you look at, you know, a team like, you know, like Edmonton, right? Everyone's disappointed that they got knocked out in the first round. It's like, well, because they're so top heavy with their scoring, you kind of expect it. And you can kind of, you know, the good coaches know how to, you know, coach against that style. And, you know, I don't want to be top heavy. I don't want to have to, you know, separate, you know, with some of their younger prospects coming onto this team for a player that, you know, listen, I like Eichel. I think he's a fantastic player. He's one of the most skilled centers, you know, in the NHL right now, you know, probably top three, but I don't know. Looking at big picture versus, you know, the immediate satisfaction of filling a void that the Rangers, you know, have right now. I just feel like big picture, I want to steer clear of Eichel. I mean, call me crazy, Andy.
No, I mean, listen, that experimental neck surgery that is like people are very wary of. Yeah, I mean, and other teams, obviously, you know, if Elliot Friedman said that it's pretty much, listen, Eichel's gone now. We know this.
Right.
But the most surprising thing is that the mandatory, like, wait this long to see how it feels after, and then we'll talk again. The feeling is that the Sabres are still not comfortable with it. And most likely what's going to happen is that he's going to get moved and it's going to be another team's problem. But you have to wonder, it's like, is the condition that the team that takes Eichel, Jack's like, I'll go to your team. And obviously because I kind of have say, like, he kind of holds the keys to this a bit because, you know, Buffalo can't afford to just say, well, we're going to keep, even though you're a malcontent. They just can't, you know, they've been in, they had had some success, but they haven't, they can't just afford to have a sandbagger, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, no, and the surgery
and a malcontent in their locker room, yeah. So, I mean, Jack can say, like, listen, I can make it like very easy for you not to give up a lot of assets, especially because if I'm going to you, I don't want you to give up the farm, because that was kind of the problem I had last time. But you have to be cool with me getting this experimental surgery, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, he kind of really holds the keys. And that is just, obviously, that gives pause, because it's like, A, you have a guy who you don't know what he's like in the playoffs because he's never been there. I mean, listen, Matthews and Marner have been lighting up the league for the last couple of seasons, which is all well and good. But again, what they haven't really done, they've had trouble translating that to success in the playoffs, you know? And who knows? Eichel could all of a sudden turn into Patrick Kane in the playoffs and he'd be like, oh, yeah. But at the same time, he's a guy where his body language hasn't been great the last few seasons. You know, he had a great season last year, but he gets hurt a lot, and now he's having this, and it's like, is this just yet another Rangers getting a guy who's going to be pet on downswing because he's just, you know, injuries and just being fed up, and you just don't know. It's a lot. It's a gamble. It's a huge gamble.
It's an expensive gamble.
And it's an expensive gamble.
And, you know, essentially, I mean, $10 million, right? I feel like you could kind of fill in the void with, I would rather get a really good, you know, obviously Strom, I think, doesn't, like, you know, you pointed it out, Strom doesn't really have term here. I think he'll ride that contract out and go sign and try to get paid somewhere else, because I just don't see it fitting within the New York Rangers, a big time contract with Ryan Strom. But I would rather the Rangers overpay for a 2C and a 3C and not have Eichel. And that's just where my thought process is. I mean, if you look at the teams that are having success in the playoffs right now, Andy, I mean, look at Montreal. I mean, they don't have a Jack Eichel. They just kind of, you know, they play four lines. They can roll through it. They play with grit. They buy into a system. They're annoying to play against. And, you know, they have a couple players that, you know how to drive offense and create scoring chances. And they're a patient team that makes, you know, makes you make mistakes. And they try to capitalize on those mistakes. And, you know, watching them has been, you know, tremendous. It's been a lot of fun watching, you know, especially that series. And we can, well, now next week we can talk about the Evans hit and how just, you know, Wilson just gets away with murder every time. But you know, you look at the teams that are having the most success, and it really is like the grittier teams. Like, not every team is going to be Colorado, where you can just outscore your problems if you even have problems. But the teams that, you know, are shocking everyone right now, it's Tampa Bay plays with that nasty snarl in the playoffs. I mean, Kucherov is kind of like a dirty hockey player now, like watching this playoff series. And then Montreal, they're just like an annoying, you know, team where they're just like nasty. I don't know how to describe it, but I feel like the Rangers need to trend in that direction instead of just going out and getting a superstar thinking it's going to solve their problems down the middle.
No, you're absolutely right. And again, we've heard this at Edict Common, and obviously what happened with Toronto as a kind of a lesson. You know, but in fairness, I do want to say Toronto supposedly addressed these things by going out and getting, you know, they get Wayne Simmonds early on last year. They bring in Joe Thornton as more of a veteran presence, and they bring in Nick Foligno from Columbus, and those guys adapt jack shit for them in the playoffs because it's a mentality. And when you have those players, but at the same time, if you take those guys and you put them on Montreal, where they're already, the whole team is already practicing that, they're way more effective. So right. Yeah, it's got to be that. Listen, the body, you know, has to move in concert with the brain, right? So
exactly,
you know, obviously the other piece of that is the coach. And if the coach is, instead of, you know, everything that's come out in light of Quinn getting released, you know, just little comments about players second guessing themselves and edicts to like more, kind of micromanaging them a little bit more with what they're doing instead of just kind of like doing being a big picture guy, which kind of seems to be his downfall and why players kind of were tuning him out a bit, I think. You know, especially you look the way they felt so much less inhibited when Knobloch was there because they just do whatever, you know, and they just can trust their instincts without having to feel like if I do one of his pet peeves, I'm going to see Pine, you know? So yeah, obviously it'll depend, but you know, I think if you look at I think it's a fair assessment to say right now, I would put, you know, obviously I think the greatest odds right now are on, you know, either one of Gerard Gallant or Rick Tocchet to become the next coach of this team. And yeah, both those guys, I think I would definitely have pushed this team in that direction. You know, you look at the way Vegas has played the last few seasons, you know, even more, it's more of the same under DeBoer, but, you know, especially they had less talent the year they went to the Cup final than they did recently, you know? So hence they're probably a little bit better team now, but, you know, they just literally that first season, they just made it on like, we'll bring the fight to you and show you, you know, who's, you know, cause they felt like they were all, you know, misfits and cast off. So yeah, I mean, as long as if they can get and like I said, they're close. They don't need a lot. You know, these players can get older. They're going to get better. So that helps because they're going to lose a Strome. They're going to lose a Buchnevich, you know. It's great to have these guys like Blackwell come and step in. But at the same time, like these guys are going to probably seek their fortunes elsewhere. So, yeah, they're going to it's just going to have to be more of a mentality in that even if you on paper are a worse team, you're going to have to, you'll be better with, you know, better coaching. So, they're close, and it will be fascinating to see who they end up finally bringing in, because we know Tocchet's now at two interviews, although he's had two interviews with a couple teams. And I assume Gerard Gallant, who's after a terrible start, is now coaching Canada to, you know, the gold medal game of the World Championships. I'm sure once he gets back, he'll have yet another interview. And this definitely helps his his claim, especially, you know, everyone was making fun of that roster on paper, how weak it was. And now look at them, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. And if you look, you know, I think that's the next step, right? The coach, because you got to bring in the coach before the draft, I would imagine, right?
I think it depends. I think, you know, because I think they'll try to, unless they're at risk of feeling like someone's going to get snatched up, which is a possibility. I do think they want to see a thing shake out. I think they want to see what happens to Carolina. Did Brendan Moore sign his extension with them yet? It was reported, but it was then reported that it wasn't finalized or it hadn't happened, or, you know. So, I mean, you know, because listen, if Brendan Moore shook loose because they didn't want to pay him, he's their Rangers' number one choice, like, you know, far and away.
I mean, that's another reason to root for Tampa, right?
It's looking like Tampa's going to.
Yeah, there is a 3-1 series lead.
And listen, I think Carolina is a good, obviously a very good team, but yeah, they've had some struggle scoring, and obviously Aho and Svechnikov are great, and even guys like Staal are good, but they don't have, I don't think they have the, I think it's better to have a player, the Rangers literally litany of guys with like sky high offensive potential, but then kind of like bend them to into submission. And can you imagine how good a Kaapo Kakko could be in a Brind'Amour type system? I think he's a guy that could really strive, or excuse me, not strive, but thrive. And maybe strive for that. But yeah, I just think that that would be a match made in heaven. But again, I think Gallant's a good too, because I think he's good. You look at his team, they weren't the most up-tempo fast teams, but you know, you had guys like Mark, it was just a nightmare because you had guys like Mark Stone, and just you had support, and it was just very hard to break through their neutral zone presence. And it just allows guys who are maybe not the most fleet of foot just to really thrive off of good defense and creating turnovers and having support and moving the puck. You know what I mean? And just, you know, since they've entered the league, Vegas under both DeBoer and Gallant has had good underlying numbers because they play good structured hockey. So, yeah, not sold on Rick Tocchet. I don't really know, but people seem to like him a lot. So we'll see. Maybe he did get a bad deal and the roster. Clearly, he was flawed that he was given in Arizona. But he had some moderate success in the bubble.
I'll give props to him because I think anyone looking at that roster, I don't think would automatically think success. And I feel like they've overachieved almost every season. They're not at the bottom anymore. They're constantly competing for a playoff spot. And given that roster and you know, some of the players that are, you know, good, like Phil, you know, I don't think this is almost a retirement, you know, phase of his career. So, you know, it's not like I feel like those players are, you know, they're playing for a Stanley Cup. I feel like they're just kind of, you know, put together in some random pieces and just kind of thrown out there to expected to go play hockey. And, you know, that organization has just kind of been a dumpster fire for so long. And now they don't have the first round pick. And I'm sure he was frustrated. And where's the motivation to do well when the organization can't even get it together? And, you know, I don't want Tocchet, but I also think, you know, he's definitely going to have a head coaching position in the NHL next season. I think there will be, you know, room made for him. The last question I have for you, Andy, before we wrap things up, I know we got into coaching a little bit. We got into, we got into the draft and, you know, looking at the roster right now, the New York Rangers, right? Do you think that there will be a blockbuster trade prior to the draft? And when I say blockbuster, I mean, Buchnevich and the first round pick is gone, or they bring in the Jack Eichel, or they go after a Barkov. Do you think that happens before or after the draft?
I think if Eichel, with the only potential deal that I would see happening before the draft, a deal might happen come draft day, but I think it's most likely, if the only thing I could see, and listen, I'm most likely going to be wrong because I'm, you know, what do I know?
That's not true.
But I mean, just the way I see it, I think Eichel's the only guy I could see, especially with, you know, that's the thing. If he's going to get experimental surgery, he's got to get it now, right?
Right.
Before training camp next season. So, and if the team is kind of stonewalling him a bit, it doesn't help the Sabres. The longer this go, it's like, because let's say, you know, if the Sabres can't get a deal done, this guy, you could have him on your roster next season. And maybe, who knows, all of a sudden they kind of pick up where they left off with the success they had last year. And it's like, oh, maybe Eichel's like, oh, you know what, actually, we're kind of looking like the real deal. Maybe we did finally turn the corner and he stays, right? But he's got to be in the lineup for that to happen. And the longer this goes on, I think it hurts the return. Whereas they're just like, look, they're almost, you know, because then Eichel can make plead his case to the teams like, look, here's the MMA fighters that have had this and now they're fighting at a high level and, you know, are more willing to take way more punishment than I would, or, you know, in this certain way or whatever. But he's got to get it. If you want him to be a contributor for you, you want him to, whatever he's going to do, you want him to do it sooner rather than later. So I just think his case is a little bit more time sensitive, hence why I think he is the best. If the Rangers do something with Eichel, that might be the only thing you might see before the draft, especially now the lottery's over. We know where everyone picks stands, you know, who's got picks where, it's a lot easier for Buffalo to visualize if you're offering a pick where it is, you know what I mean? So
right. All right. So what you're saying is that a Jack Eichel will be a New York Ranger within the coming weeks.
It's feeling like it. I mean, again, I don't really know how to feel about it because, again, I think if before the neck injury, I think everyone was like, all right, yeah, Eichel, hell yeah, come on down, you know, come to New York, especially, you know, he's talked about how much he loves New York's his favorite place to play and playing in the Garden. And, you know, when you look at Panarin come and actually exceed expectation and over deliver, and you're just thinking like, man, if we have one, like, you know, just to kind of have that super team feel where at the very least they're getting into the playoffs, you know, as long as they can, even if they're a team that has trouble putting it together in the playoffs, it'd be nice to be back in the, you know, you're watching all these teams, you know, I'm watching the Islanders, I'm getting envious, and that's not a good feeling for me. You know what I mean? Just seeing the atmosphere, and there's nothing better than that, you know, the feeling of playoff hockey, you know, in the late spring, summer. So, yeah, I would like them to get back to there and just to have Eichel on this roster at, well, you know, if he's, can remain the player he has been. It's hard to envision them not making the playoffs, no matter how hard their division is. They just their goal differential, how much they were able to shore up their D play last year. The fact that they're most likely getting a better coach. The fact that they're all getting old. You know, it's funny to think because you know you have these teams where guys are 23 or 20 or 24 and older. For the most part, they've kind of they are what they are, right? But that's the thing. You look at the leaps that Kako took, and you know, hell, Kravtsov took to be able to make the league, and how much better he is. And they're going to get better. And Hedl gets better every year. And it's just, and Lafreniere is going to be better. He might have that extra step that Kako had. And you can imagine how comfortable he was looking at the end of the year, how much more dangerous he is now. And all of a sudden, it's just a wealth, you know? So, So I think, like I said, it's like this is a team that's on the upswing. But that being said, you still have to be smart. The cap is going to, because for all the good feelings about that, you know, we're looking at the Trouba contract, we're looking at Kreider's contract, and you're just like, and the cap's going to be flat. And you look at the age of a Panarin and Mika Zibanejad wanting a next contract, and a superstar wanting to come here, but he's a lot of money and he's about to have experimental neck surgery. And it's a minefield, dude. Like, so, and you know, you can be like, there are teams that have handcuffed themselves, and you know, there are teams that on paper that look like playoff teams like Philly that just, you know, are up and down, you know, so it's tough. It's a slippery slope. Parity in the league is tremendous right now. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, obviously I'm positive about the future. But yeah, I think the coaching, like you said, is the big thing. That's what I'm most interested about, because I think that more than anything will have the biggest effect, you know, because they were almost handcuffing themselves, I think, a little bit with a guy who is probably not ready to be an NHL head coach. And but at the same time, it's like now they have a chance, and just to have a, you know, especially if the players feel like it's a breath of fresh air, they have a guy who comes in who's like, I'm not going to micromanage you, but like, I just need you to do these big picture things, and that's it. I'm not going to say like, don't pass on a 2-on-1 and like, I didn't see you doing this or that, but like, we have a system here and a structure, and you're going to play within it, you know. And that's just huge. So we'll see what happens on that front. Like I said, I suspect, you know, I think as we record this, Canada's playing for gold in the World Championships today. So whenever, if Gallant can win yet another feather in his cap, especially with that roster, which wasn't exactly a powerhouse. So yeah, I think that helps him. And then he'll most likely have another interview. So we'll see. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. We look forward to speaking to everyone here on the podcast next time. You know, the playoffs continue to roll on. The cream seems to be rising to the top. You know, the hockey's been real good. Hopefully there's no more catastrophic injuries but you know, in this league there always is. So I'm sure we'll have something to talk about. But yeah, we'll see you all next time. Later.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.